Yeah.
This is painting him as being there every step of the way. Mm. From the looks of it so far,
Taking him to the first day of school, taking him to strip club, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Getting his first prostitute.
Yeah.
Prostitute.
Say, hey, Bruce, you don't pay him for the sex, you pay him to leave. How about throwing something Uncle Jimmy's way?
Wow.
That took a turn.
Yeah, it did.
Sorry.
You know how you can quantify infinity? It's the period of time after you blow your load and before she leaves.
Speaking of wanting to blow your load,
I heard that today from a teacher.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sex ed teacher.
Nope.
Feminist studies.
Yeah, there you go.
Interesting.
What about Supergirl?
Were they saying this to a student?
No.
To a class.
Oh my god.
Students.
Plural. Fucking plural.
Wow. Well, that's a good icebreaker.
Yeah.
Let's them know that you're there and you're their friend. Not only are you their teacher, but you're also their friend. That's important. It establishes trust, Amanda. That's what jokes are for.
Truth.
I'd be suing the school right now if I was in that class.
Why?
Because that's disgusting and offensive.
To who? Maybe the girl wants to leave too.
Yeah. Maybe it's only offensive out of context. Maybe there was something in the context in what was said before or after that made it okay. That's all I heard.
Some girls can't pee and zip their pants up fast enough to get out of that place. Because guys' rooms are gross.
God damn it! I get it!
It was just crap. It was terrible.
I was titillated.
I know you want to go.
No, I slept with like 3 girls a night. No one ever said anything.
Dude.
Oh god, you guys are disgusting.
Boring.
So boring.
That is an amazing film.
Ooh, I love me some Statham.
That's a little bit of brilliance that just came out of your mouth there, Justin. I like it.
Do you want to keep going?
Hey there, geek boys and girls. Welcome back to another episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. This here is Randy talking at you, and I am joined by David, Justin, and Amanda tonight. How's everyone doing?
Good.
Fabulous.
Amazing. You talked awful quick. How are you doing today, Randy?
I must have been watching some of those retro Micro Machines commercials. It's a combination of the speed, cocaine, and energy drinks. But it's cool. It's going to make for a better podcast. I read it somewhere.
You just got to get used to it, man. You got to get a little bit of tolerance. Like, I'll do a bump off my monster can. I'm totally fine.
I don't ever want to build up a tolerance to this. I want to always feel like I feel right now.
Ooh. I used to work with a guy. He used to joke, like, when he had to, like, work late, I'll just take a bump of coke and feel better. For my entire, like, time I worked with him for, like, 9 months, I thought he was kidding. I ran into him, like, 6 months after we worked together. Total cokehead.
Disclaimer, I'm totally kidding.
At all.
He was not joking at all.
I am 100% joking.
You shouldn't joke about drugs, Randy.
I am so squeaky clean, it's disgusting.
Drug use is life abuse.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Drug abuse is life abuse.
Mm-hmm. It was on all the signs in the 90s, yeah.
Where'd you learn to do this?
You.
Imagine you.
Yeah, take the bait. Take it.
Probably a deadbeat dad. Where's the mother in that commercial? That's what I want to know.
She left the deadbeat dad. Left the kid with the dad. It's like, oh, I'll start over.
She went to get lottery tickets.
Yeah, and smokes. Virginia Slims.
Or Cool. Remember those?
With a K?
Yeah. They don't even spell it right.
They were for a certain demographic.
That's. So. I think that was like the sister company to Kool-Aid.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It was. Yeah, oh yeah. And, oh no.
Yeah. It's all like a downer face.
Yeah. Got a lot of superhero news going on this week, guys. So, what have you heard?
Burst a word. Well, yeah, there's a lot of good superhero news. Might as well kick it off with Deadpool. You guys remember about 2 months ago, there was some leaked footage from the supposed Tim Miller Deadpool short that he showed to Marvel to try to gain interest. Ryan Reynolds did the voice, and it was pretty much a cartoon. It was all computer-generated, and he was kicking butt and having fun. And a lot of people speculated at the time that Tim Miller was just trying to, gauge the interest level of a I almost said Daredevil, of a Deadpool movie. And apparently it worked because Marvel has since come out and announced that February 2016, we will see Deadpool on the big screen. No longer will he just be that annoying a-hole at every comic book convention because he's the easiest costume to do. Now he will be gracing the big screen and everyone is just, yeah, I want to see my Deadpool, except everyone I know who could care less. So what do you think, Justin? Are you excited for a Deadpool movie?
Nah, I guess. I mean, I like Ryan Reynolds as much as the next guy, but I don't really care. I'm indifferent. I think it'll be fun, I guess. I don't know.
it'll be what it is. Well, a lot of people were kind of getting excited because they thought we'd finally get a good R-rated superhero movie. Uh-huh. And rumor was that they were going to have, you know, a lower budget, like a $50 million R-rated Marvel movie, just to see, you know, if that was something that could succeed. You know, Marvel is obviously big on their PG-13 tent poles, Iron Man, Avengers, Guardians of the Galaxy. But they've since come out and said that they're going to do, well, they haven't confirmed, but they said they're probably going to make it a PG-13 movie. So what do you think, Randy? Are you more apt to like it or dislike it because of its rating?
I mean, my gut reaction is going to be to dislike it just because that character, it lends itself to such foul language. You associate it with Deadpool, right? But I see the studio's wisdom in doing that because you're going to open yourself up to a much larger audience, and it's going to open up all sorts of merchandising opportunities that wouldn't necessarily be there for an R-rated film. So from a money standpoint, it makes sense. But to me, it just... I don't know, it just leaves a bad taste in my mouth. But, I mean, from what I've heard, it sounds like they're trying to stay true to form or true to character as much as possible while still writing that PG-13 line. In fact, some people at work today were talking about just that. I walked in the middle of the conversation, they were talking about what constitutes an R rating, how you can have one F-bomb and all that kind of stuff. And basically, they were trying to figure out exactly how this movie is going to ride that PG-13 line and still give it that grit and that edge. And I don't know. I don't know if it's going
to
work.
Wait, do you need to be 17 or older to buy a Deadpool comic?
No.
So then what's the problem?
I don't think there's a problem. I mean, it's show business, not show let's make an R-rated movie. Right. Gotta make some money. I think they can toe the line fine. You are usually allowed one F-word in a PG-13 movie unless it's very violent. So I imagine Deadpool won't have the F-word, and if Marvel's going out of their way to not have an R-rated movie, they're probably just going to PG-13 it up.
My understanding in terms of the F-bomb, and correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm sorry for interrupting, but you cannot use it as a verb. You can use it as an expletive, like, fuck.
Correct.
But you can't talk, oh, look, two dogs fucking. You can't say that.
Well, you go back to, like, Temple of Doom was the first PG-13 movie. So before that, there were movies that were still technically PG that had the F word in it.
What? Like, so what?
I don't know.
Like what?
Like Revenge of the Nerds 4. I don't
that
know.
That had like Bush. They say the word Bush. That's offensive. That,
Revenge of the Nerds was R-rated though.
I know.
Oh, okay.
I'm using a stupid example. Oh. But yeah, there were movies that were rated PG for parental guidance and had the F word. Or not the F, yeah, had the F word in it, so. Anyway. Who knows? I'm more concerned about story, and I think that Guardians of the Galaxy had some pretty bad language in it, and it still was PG-13, and it was amazing. So, people at Marvel know what they're doing. Did it
well? I guess he does call Gamora a whore a lot.
Yeah, they say shit a couple times. I mean, they don't say the F word, but they say ass, and they say dick, and they say shit. Sorry. They say everything but the F word.
Mm.
He got my dick nut! Sorry.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh, wait, I don't. I guess you would be more aware of those sorts of things since you have kids.
And we're boys.
Doesn't even register in my mind.
I pay attention.
I think it's funny that you compare a lot of stuff to Guardians of the Galaxy now, Dave, and I don't know how fair that is to other movies. That's a pretty high standard that they set with that movie.
Oh, I agree. It's not fair. I was just comparing a Marvel movie to a Marvel movie.
I see.
And it's just the most recent one. I could go Winter Soldier, but I think like the tone and the comedy and the action of a Deadpool movie is more akin to a Guardians of the Galaxy or, you know, maybe even an Iron Man as opposed to like Winter Soldier.
Right. No, I'm with you.
But I do compare. That's my current benchmark. It's the most recent film that I love the most.
Right. No, I agree.
to where before August 2nd, it would have been Winter Soldier.
Yeah, same here. Funny how that works.
Yeah, because Marvel's on a roll.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm not upset. Marvel could come out, any announcement they say, I'm going to be on board with, because they've had a pretty decent track record the last, you know, couple movies.
That just means they're due for dropping the ball.
Yeah, it's called Avengers 2. You wait. Yeah. I bet Avengers 2 sucks. That's why they're not showing anything.
I hope that's why Ant-Man needs to come out first, because that movie's going to be terrible.
Yeah. I bet Ant-Man's good.
I bet it's so horrible. I bet it's stupid.
I bet we would have all said that before Iron Man came out, that Iron Man was going to be stupid. And then Downey Jr. showed up at Comic-Con. We're like, this movie's going to rule.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. There's kind of tight-lipped on everything Avengers 2 related, and it's just giving me a bad vibe. And I think that they got spooked that everyone's like favorite part of Days of Future Past was Quicksilver. And
why would that spook them?
I think they're, because they have Quicksilver in their movie.
And he's not as cool.
And I think they're concerned that Quicksilver is going to be a big part in their movie, to where he was a small part in Days of Future Past, so he could be like this like fun little, you know, get in, get out, you don't get sick of his semi-lame power.
Yeah, he has, what, like 12, 15 minutes of screen time, and it's amazing. He kills
it. Yeah. And so, but Quicksilver in Avengers is going to be a major character, so. So yeah, we'll see. Ipso facto, Magneto's your dad.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so. Eh, that'll be fun.
Quicksilver, I am your father.
Yeah, you know it.
He's but, like, what? I can't hear you through your dorky helmet.
Dorky helmet. That's really all I got on the Deadpool news there. But what about, there was a new show on today, wasn't there, Randy? Or yesterday, yeah, when you're listening to it.
Yeah, so Gotham made its big debut. And I think so far I'm the only one on the podcast who have watched it, because I raced home from work and plopped myself in front of my TV just so that I could talk about it tonight. And, you know, it was an interesting take on the Batman universe. And I was kind of shocked by the sheer number of Batman villains that were introduced in this first one-hour episode. It opens with Catwoman and ends with Catwoman. You see the Riddler, not as the Riddler, but you hear him very clearly called Edward Nygma. He apparently works with the police. You see the Penguin, who is often called the Penguin. People tease him and call him the Penguin, and he kind of looks like the Danny DeVito version with the red nose and just kind of the really quirky personality. But you can definitely see where he's going. You see Poison Ivy. You see God, I know there's others, but it was overwhelming. And of course, you see the young Bruce Wayne, and it's really interesting. It's an interesting story, and one of the things that caught me kind of by surprise as well is the fact that it is set present day. Now, I went into this series really not informing myself anything about it ahead of time. I wanted to go into it with a clean slate, so I didn't know if this was meant to take place earlier, you know, like maybe 20 years ago or so. That way, you know, that way it would be plausible that the current era Batman that we're all familiar with would be taking place in the now, but this origin tale is actually taking place present day, because of all the cars and the cell phones and whatnot. So
all these potential villains that we're seeing,
yeah,
are they series regulars and they're on like every episode? And they were just
a lot of them
evolve?
Were just. I'm pretty sure a lot of them are just flashes, but the Catwoman character looks like you're going to be seeing a whole lot of her. She didn't have any dialogue really to speak of. She was just kind of skulking around at the very beginning and the very end. She was there to witness the murder of Bruce Wayne's parents. So she was sitting up on a fire escape watching the whole thing happen.
That's
she's about the same
weird.
Age.
How old is she supposed to be?
She's the same age as Bruce Wayne roughly in this, as is Poison Ivy.
So they're children.
Yeah, yes. They were children. Now, Penguin, he is kind of... He looks like a dude in his late 20s or so. Same thing with the Riddler, Edward Nygma.
Enigma.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it was cool. I really dig Ryan from the OC in it.
He's Gordon?
He's Gordon. The cast is actually really quite good.
How was your Vikings guy? Donald Loge playing Bullock.
He's pretty cool. Now, I don't know how much I want to give away to you guys, because I do think you should check out the series, so I don't want to spoil too much about certain character traits in each of these guys. So we'll maybe wait and talk about it a little bit more in depth next week. That way all of you guys will have had a chance to check it out too. But no, I really dig his character, and it kind of throws you for some loops. So it's fun.
Like a roller coaster? Was it a roller coaster ride? Emotionally?
I would not call it a roller coaster ride quite yet, but Lacey from our site wrote up a nice little review, and she gave it a B+. And
she says that she thinks it's off to an okay start.
That is what she says, and I'm gonna pretty much agree with that. I think it could be fun. It's enough to hold my interest for a little while. I just don't want it to turn into a Schumacher suck fest and just have villain after villain after villain after villain after villain in there. You know, it's cool to have all these cute little nods. I think it may have been overdone in this first episode, I guess, is really my most harsh criticism that I can think of for it.
It's like they're screaming at you, this is Batman.
Exactly. It's like, this is Batman. You want to watch it because it reminds you of Batman, but it's not Batman.
Right.
It's a crime drama. It's a police procedural.
Do you think maybe an Arkham show would have been more fun? Or do you think you like this whole idea of the city in general, the city as a character and all this crazy shit happening? Do you think an Arkham show would have been better with maybe like the staff and dealing with these crazy Looney Tunes?
When I think of what an Arkham show would be like, I would have to compare it to the Asylum series of American Horror Story. Mm-hmm. And I think if it was done something similar to that, it could be amazing. I would love to see an Arkham series, just because there's so many wacky characters that you can explore, whether they're well known in the Batman universe or not. And you don't even necessarily need to see anything that ever goes on outside. You can of course hear maybe Batman's activities out there as he's sending people into Arkham Asylum, if you wanted to do it congruent with the Batman timeline when he's out there fighting crime. But I think something like that would be amazing. But I also don't see why both shows or both ideas can't coexist. So
there is no Dana, somebody, only Zool.
Somebody get on that.
Yeah, because originally the whole point of Gotham was it was going to be about Commissioner Gordon, before he was the commissioner, him basically putting the people in Arkham. It was going to be a crime show. It was going to feature like the genesis of like the villains in Gotham. It was going to have nothing to do with Batman. And then all of a sudden it was going to have to do a little bit with Batman or Bruce Wayne and a little bit more. And so now it's, Bruce Wayne's going to be a regular,
Yeah, the opening scene before you even get a title shot, the opening scene is the murder of Bruce Wayne's parents.
Yeah.
And they're no longer coming home from an opera. They went to go see a movie. Right. And it's a whole thing, but
no one
yeah,
take
so
kid to an opera.
Yeah, exactly. And then in the scenes for next week's episode, it's another Bruce Wayne episode. It's all about how Bruce is adjusting, and Gordon has kind of formed this bond with him, and he kind of goes and checks on him, that sort of thing. So now it's kind of weaving into the story this whole idea that Gordon's kind of been there all along, which kind of contradicts a lot of what we know or what we've seen previously about Batman's adult crime-fighting life. So I don't know. But I think it's worthwhile. I think it's worth giving a shot. It's fun. And I like pretty much anything set in the Batman universe. So I say give it a look-see. Give it a few weeks.
How about that Supergirl, see?
Yeah, Supergirl.
So what's going on with Supergirl?
Well, quite a bit, actually. There's rumbling. Wow. That was offensive, Dave.
It was. But it's true.
Yeah, I guess.
And well, okay, fine. Don't forget the Superman skirt. Is Supergirl with a penis.
There you go. I like that. That's very progressive. I like that. Yes. Supergirl. TV show. This could be a go. In fact, what is his name? Greg Berlanti, who just happens to be the executive producer of Arrow and the Flash. He is developing this TV series with CBS. And at least Deadline reports that CBS has given the big series commitment to Supergirl. Now, let's just pretend that this is real and that this show is happening. It's a straight-to-series commitment, right? That's kind of a big deal. First of all, that's assuming that people want to watch this show. And I don't know how many of you care about Supergirl, but I certainly do not. And I do want there to be, this wonderful female superhero presence in pop culture that we
Why does it have to be Supergirl?
Right. And not only that, I feel like this is this sacrificial lamb. I don't think this is going to work at all. And I think that on top of that, it's going to just be, you know, it's going to set a precedent for studios to say, look, we tried to make this work and it didn't. And they're gonna, and no one's gonna listen.
Because you picked the worst one.
And that's just the way it goes. And
well, I mean, they tried Wonder Woman like 4 years ago. I mean, that's arguably the best one, and that didn't work.
Right, and that didn't even get off the ground in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah. Well, that one, I feel like they were making major missteps before they even started filming.
Well, as far as Supergirl goes, I think that. Like, because CBS had a pretty good show with that No Ordinary Family. I actually really enjoyed that show, and it got canceled. Or ABC, that was ABC, you're right.
I totally enjoyed it, too.
And that was a really good show, and I had a whole family, and they were all pretty powerful and had their own little, you know, perks about them and being super cool, right? And they worked together as a family, and it was a lot of fun, and I enjoyed the shit out of it. And I don't know, man, I just think that CW, I mean, we don't know how well Constantine's gonna go, and that what's that on? That's on
NBC,
and then Gotham's what on Fox, right? And Shield is a no brainer because that's ABC, right? And that's freaking Disney owns that shit anyway, right?
And you have Agent Carter. That's gonna be a female led show as well,
right? And I think that one's actually good, but she's not a superhero, really.
No.
So we have an actual superhero show, and what's weird about this is that you would think that CW would be all over this because it is Greg Berlanti. And they're already introducing superpowers into that universe, especially since it's DC for that matter, too. I would think that they could work well off of each other in some form of a spinoff, you know, and borrow each other on different shows, certain cameos, whatever. It just would help to already have a platform available. And the idea of it being Supergirl on a whole totally different network that's going to have to stand alone and support herself, I don't think it's going to work. I don't think it's going to make an entire season. I think it's going to get canceled pretty early, and I think I'm going to have to say I told you so when that day comes.
Well, just to play devil's advocate, I agree with everything you just said, but you could have said the exact same thing a couple years ago about Arrow, about how I could not be less interested in a show about the Green Arrow, and it's a pretty rad show. Same thing with Flash. I think the Flash is like one of the dumbest comic book characters ever, but the pilot was good, and so... You know, I think that Mr. Berlanti and, you know, Ali Atter, who's she did No Ordinary Family, and she's going to be show running this show as well. You know, maybe they'll hit something out of the park.
Maybe they will.
I don't think they will.
But I don't think they will either. And I agree. I mean, I never liked Green Arrow. There's hardly any DC. Aside from Batman, I could give a shit about any DC hero whatsoever. And you guys know I feel that way about Superman, too. Like, I can't stand the man. I think he's a dumb hero. They hate everything about him. No one should be able to stop him. I don't get why it takes a whole issue for them people to figure that out. Drives me nuts. Or a whole movie. I don't like it. Drives me nuts. Anyway, Supergirl. I think it's a lame show. It's a lame character. It's not going to work. And that just sucks for women, too, because it's just going to be a step backwards, and they're going to have to build on that again. I can't think of a DC superhero at the moment. Other than Wonder Woman, that is remotely interesting. Can you guys?
No. I mean, and the problem, too, is CBS. You know, CBS is the network for old people.
Right. So what old people are going to watch? You got your CSIs and all this other crap. They're not going to watch a Supergirl show.
Yeah. So CBS is the number one network all around. So from combining all demos. And it's number one by a large margin. But in the 18 to 35 demo, which this would fit into, they're fifth. But CBS has... They have two NCIS shows, which are huge amongst, like, you know, people like 40 to 65.
Right.
They have all the CSIs, and they have all this other stuff that, I mean, I'm just afraid that it's going to get lost in their marketing, because anytime they've ever tried to market like a younger show, the only time they've ever had success is with comedy. You know, obviously they have their big Thursday night comedy block with Big Bang Theory and stuff, but it's going to take a real paradigm shift within the company for them to be able to successfully market not only a superhero show geared towards teens, 20s, maybe even early 30s, but a female-fronted one, because there's no blueprint for it. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a blueprint for, you know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. They know what worked, what didn't work. They know what worked and didn't work for Arrow. You know, they're taking everything they learned from Arrow and they're applying that to the Flash. So the Flash is starting off with a huge head start. Not that he needs it because he's super fast. And I just feel that... It's like what I did there? I feel that Wonder Woman is just starting... Supergirl is starting with so many deficits that they're not going to be able to overcome it. And I agree with Justin. They're going to use this as the benchmark like they did with the Wonder Woman movie or like what DC is doing with the Green Lantern movie, saying that they can't have funny movies, is they take these failures and they have to associate something with it. In this case, that obviously girls, superheroes are stupid because no one watched the show, when in reality, it's a stupid show.
Right. Not going to work. Not going to do it. Stupid.
I'm going to carry signs to support it. Watch Supergirl. Prove Justin and David
well,
wrong.
I wonder if Big Bang Theory is going to be watching. What's the nerdy guy? Sheldon?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I bet he's wearing a fucking Supergirl shirt leading up to the show's premiere.
Well, they don't tell Sheldon Cooper what to do.
Yeah, they will.
They own that robot.
If he's getting paid fucking $1 billion an episode these days.
He's like, I got 4 Emmys. I can do what the frick I want.
Mm-hmm. And fucking Blossom's gonna be wearing a Supergirl shirt.
I hope so. She's funny.
No, she's not. That's all I got. Supergirl. It's gonna fail. And I feel bad about that.
You're rooting against women. You
I am.
Woman hater.
That is not true. I happen to be a huge Buffy fan.
Sure. No, yeah.
And that's hard to be these days because that show is so dated.
It's so dated.
No cars, no cell phones. Holy shit, man.
It's no bueno.
It's tough.
They got that Xander guy there.
Yeah, he's an asshole. Anyway.
I don't understand why none of those kids had cars.
Because they were poor. They walked everywhere.
In the movie, they weren't.
They got a car later. And they wrecked it.
Like a mystery machine wagon?
Yeah, something like that. They call themselves Scoobies.
Yeah.
Oz had a van. He was a musician. Musicians have vans.
They do.
So they can hotbox in it.
That too.
The waterbed in it.
Yeah. That's circular and spins.
Probably a wet bar.
If not, it'll be at the end.
God, what is happening?
This is an industry that's overrun by men, Amanda.
You don't pipe in enough, so the testosterone just keeps going.
It's like a tidal wave. Bad.
Oh.
Sorry. I didn't even say anything that time.
Yeah.
That time was random.
No, I mean the royal you.
Oh.
Like us four. All three of you.
So Supergirl does.
Yeah, it brings out the worst in all of us, clearly.
Cape and a skirt.
What's cool about Arrow and the Flash is they're humanizing these superheroes. I mean, Arrow's not a superhero, but he's a hero. You know, they're really humanizing them, and Supergirl is, you know, it's just the same problem with Superman. We can't relate to them because they're gods.
They're aliens.
Well, but they're alien gods. Mix metaphors there. So, I mean, it's, I don't know. I don't want to watch a...
Right. What's the problem? Girl. Exactly. She's going to come to town and beat the shit out of everybody. That's not good.
Well, if they had the budget, if they were like an HBO show or a movie and they could like actually have like other super-powered beings fight her, and she was just kicking ass and being badass, I would love it. But they're not going to have any money. They can't afford to do any kind of cool special effects. They're not going to fly very often because that costs too much money. She's going to run real fast, and she's going to like stop robberies. Mm-hmm. I have Arrow and Flash for that. I want to see Supergirl freaking like punch people into space and like just kick ass.
She's going to be the bouncy blur for those of you who watched Smallville.
Yeah, they just don't have... I mean, I don't know. Maybe they'll prove us wrong and they'll give it a $1 trillion budget, but...
I just shook my magic 8-ball and signs point to no.
Oh. They might as well just pack up shop now. Justin's 8-ball said signs point to no.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
If I thought you really had an 8-ball, I'd be excited.
I got it from 8-ball
says no.
Yeah. Computer says no. I can't believe you finally got to watch that skit.
Yeah, finally.
We've been saying that for years.
I know.
I like that you quoted it, and then like 2 seconds later, you're like, I still don't know what that's. No,
I didn't even quote. I sent you a picture of a shirt that I found that said it. I'm like, I thought you would appreciate this, even though I have no idea what it's from.
Yeah. And then I sent you the wrong one. I meant to send the one with the little girl, but I sent you that one second.
Yeah.
How old are you? So, nearly six.
So five. Yeah, it's good stuff. Miss Beers.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Who's running this show?
I don't know.
You're letting us go all crazy off tangent, Randy. It's going to be like a 6-hour podcast.
I like it.
We're going to lose all the women, the female listeners.
Yeah, I got real misogynistic real quick there.
Do we have any? I don't listen to this.
Don't you listen? Don't,
we have a ton.
Nope.
All the girls in my mom's work. So we got the old lady crowd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, mom, and rest of you old ladies.
The Cougars.
Then shouldn't you be watching your language?
No, they like swearing. They've been around sailors their whole lives.
Makes them feel young again.
They know me. They see my movies.
Yeah. So what's going on with that Avengers Age of Ultron synopsis hitting online? You guys check that out?
No.
Yeah.
Spoiler free.
No spoilers.
Spoiler free until Avengers 3. Spoiler free for a real long time.
I heard it got canceled.
It did, yeah. They heard our podcast. Right. Where I said bad things about it just now, and they're like, "Oh, Dave doesn't like it."
He said that Quicksilver sucks. Quicksilver.
I saw Kick-Ass 2, and he wasn't very fast in that movie. I saw Godzilla, and he wasn't fast in that movie either. So I don't see anything that makes me think he'll be fast in this movie.
Is he the actor?
Yeah. It's funny. It's Aaron Taylor Johnson, and then Elizabeth Olsen, who played his wife in Godzilla. She's Scarlet Witch.
Huh. So,
that's fun. Review.
It's like that other movie with the insurgent, not insurgent.
Divergent.
Divergent, and the Fault in Our Stars.
Well, they will be in.
Yeah,
be
that like freaked me out when I saw Divergent and I saw that what's his face plays her brother in Divergent, and I'd been seeing all these previews for Fault in Our Stars where they're in love with each other. It's weird.
So yeah, Marvel released the official synopsis for the film. God knows why it took so long, but just paraphrasing, the epic follow-up to the biggest superhero movie of all time. When Tony Stark tries to jumpstart a dormant peacekeeping program, things go awry and Earth's mightiest heroes, including Iron Man, Captain America, Thor, the Incredible Hulk, Black Widow, and Hawkeye, are put to the ultimate test as the fate of the planet hangs in the balance. As the villainous Ultron emerges, it's up to the Avengers to stop him from enacting his terrible plans, and soon, uneasy alliances and unexpected action paves way for an epic and unique global adventure.
What's the uneasy alliance, I wonder?
Hulk and Iron Man.
Didn't we get an uneasy alliance in Thor 2? With Loki and Thor?
Yeah. And all of the first Avengers, we got an uneasy alliance.
Oh, that's true. They hated each other for the whole movie. Till the end.
Yeah. Well, I think that the Science Brothers, Bruce Banner and Tony Stark, are going to have kind of a falling out.
Oh.
Kevin Feige's hinted at the Hulkbuster armor, and there's been some concept art released, so... Might get to see some hot Iron Man on Hulk action.
Ooh.
I know we're all dying for it. Obviously, the big addition to Age of Ultron is Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch. Elizabeth Olsen's going to play the Scarlet Witch, and Aaron Taylor Johnson of Kick-Ass and Godzilla fame will be playing the role of Quicksilver. So, I don't know about you guys, but I'm not super stoked about the movie. I'm sure once it gets closer and we see our first trailer, y'all start getting more excited, but... I don't know if I'm just kind of over the five heroes in the movie, but what about you, Amanda? Are you excited for Avengers 2?
No.
Just because it's too far out, or you just don't care about movies?
Well, one, it's too far out. Two, got tripped up on using two and two. So A, it's too far out.
Two.
B, we've literally seen nothing, so why do I care? I haven't seen anything.
And D, we live on the most boring street in the United States of America.
Excellent Burbs reference.
Close. It was Home Alone.
Yeah. It was in Burbs. Yeah, well. Yeah. What about you, Randy?
Not even close. Buzz says it to fucking his sister.
Yes.
I'm gonna more or less agree with Amanda. I'll care more when it gets closer. As of right now, it's too far out to really be that concerned with it. The only movie that I'm that concerned with it that far out is Episode 7.
Right. Also, I feel like we talk about it every single week, and yet we're not really talking about anything.
Because we're always talking about Guardians and Captain America.
No, not anymore.
No, that's the best two best movies of the year. They deserve. When are we going to get a trailer? Like Super Bowl or before that?
Oh, well, I bet we'll get it. I bet we'll get something with a Disney movie this holiday season.
Like what? That robot movie? Is that a Disney movie?
Big Hero 6, maybe. I could see them putting it before Big Hero 6 in November. I would. I'd be down with that. Now,
I didn't get a question.
I had a question and never kept talking and I lost my question.
It was probably a good one.
Oh, so all right. So Justin, I think we're all in agreement that Marvel really only has one good villain in Loki, and he's not really going to play into Iron Man or Avengers 2. What does Marvel need to do to make Ultron a memorable character like Loki, and not someone forgettable like, you know, Ronan the Accuser or, you know, any of the Iron Man villains?
Well, I think they're off to a great start with James Spader. I think that guy's the fucking man, dude, and I love everything that he does, including Stargate, which I tend to go
That's
on.
That's my favorite movie.
Saying I can't stand,
I love
but
Stargate.
Spader. Oh. Dude, he's fucking awesome, man. The guy can do anything, and love him to death, and I just can't wait to hear his voice.
He was so cute when he was young.
Mm-hmm. He had all that hair and glasses.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And all those dirty movies with Linda Fiorentino.
Now he's filled out a little bit. He's kind of bald, but that's okay.
I like the comb over that creepy.
He had. Yeah. Yeah. He's hammy, and I love it. He chews up the screen, and I think he's amazing, and I can't wait. And I think that, I feel like he is going to set the stage for this Avenger movie, and it's going to be cool seeing all these A-listers, you know, on screen, but you're just kind of hearing his voice. And I think it's gonna play off pretty nicely.
That's a good point. Now, do you think that it's possible for us to be as attached to a computer-generated villain with just a voice as we would be in someone like, you know, Tom Hiddleston's Loki?
Well, maybe. I think it's going to be tough because when you look at something like Andy Serkis does, like with the motion capture, you know, we're able to really identify with that and really feel compassionate. I mean, I can't watch Gollum without just being mesmerized, or even like, you know, Planet of the Apes. He just does such an amazing job. So this is going to be different. You know, we're just going to be, you know, I don't think Spader's rolling around, you know, tussling with these people motion capture style, but the talent behind the camera, I think, is going to be able to pull it off nicely.
I mean, let's look at something a little bit more recent. Look at Rocket Raccoon. I mean, that's just CGI with a voice, and that made you feel something.
Same with Groot.
For that matter.
Groot,
yeah, exactly.
But Ultron is like a metallic robot.
Right.
Do you think that makes things different?
I think it makes it easier to animate because you don't have to do all that hair and organic shit.
He's a villain, so we don't have to worry about.
Yeah, we don't have to feel anything, really.
Yeah, we're supposed to hate this guy. He's supposed to be an asshole.
I think it's a lot easier to make somebody hate you than it is to make somebody empathize with you.
Mm-hmm. Right, but I mean, by that stretch, you could almost make the argument that that's one of the reasons that Loki is such a good villain, is that in a way, you almost feel bad for him. You know, he's not completely despicable, you know, like every other villain. You know, like, you know, Jonah from the first Iron Man, or whoever was, or Mickey Rourke from the second Iron Man, or all those people are, you know, people who you just don't like because they're just bad people. Do you think that they'll be able to make Ultron likable? And then, because he's going to obviously start out as a good guy because he's part of the program that Tony Stark creates, and then he just becomes kind of self-aware, Johnny Five is a lifestyle,
right,
and just goes batshit crazy.
In order to make a better world, you got to tear it down. That's like the theme that we've seen over and over and over again.
Exactly.
It sounds like I can't satisfy you with an answer, Dave. Do you want me just to say no?
David, did you watch WALL-E?
I did.
Did that not make you feel something?
I did. Yeah.
Robot?
Wally,
there you
amazing.
Go.
I
there
cry
you go.
Every time I watch that movie.
Maybe it's going to be a cute robot that everybody falls in love with big sad eyes, and then it just goes on a murderous rampage once it becomes self-aware. Like all Terminator style.
Overdrive or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now we're talking.
I like it. You guys have won me over.
I don't think we have. I'm worried.
I just wanted to hear you keep talking.
You sound like a very cynical son of a bitch right now, Dave.
No way. I love stuff.
Speaking of cynical sons of bitches, I heard that Shatner might be appearing in Star Trek 3, which is pretty darn interesting because apparently there was a cameo all more or less set aside for him in the first of the Star Trek reboot films. And that kind of fell by the wayside for the Leonard Nimoy cameo, which carried on into the second film. And if the rumors that we have heard, he got way butthurt and was basically in some sort of crazy internet war with J.J. Abrams. But if the rumors that I'm hearing now are to be believed, it's possible that both Shatner and Leonard Nimoy may appear on screen together in this incarnation of Star Trek III for the first time in Star Trek canon history since Part 6, The Undiscovered Country.
I think that's a terrible idea.
I don't like it.
And it's more than likely going to be... I love it, too. I would watch anything Star Trek related with Shatner in it because I love the man, but it's probably going to be the last time we ever get to see him reprise his role officially as James T. Kirk, and I'm totally on board with that.
I don't see how Chris Pine could ever let himself go enough to the point to look like William Shatner.
Have you seen what Shatner looked like in the 60s?
Yeah, but
he was the fucking man. He was pretty in shape. He was a decent looking guy.
I know that.
He was banging broads left and right of various different colors.
I'm saying I don't think Chris Pine would let himself go like that.
Yeah.
I get that William Shatner can do it. But okay. I don't think Chris
William
Pine
Shatner
can
become his older self. Hey, check this out. I'm not supposed to talk about its embargo, but we got the leaked script that shows what the cameo for William Shatner would be. So what happens is Chris Pine's Captain Kirk goes into like this like funhouse, the intergalactic funhouse with like those crazy mirrors to make you look tall and fat.
Right.
And he goes in front of one and he turns into William Shatner. He's like, oh my God. And he shoots his phaser at it and blows it up.
I like it.
Credits.
There's a James Bond movie that opened up that way. I think it
Man with the Golden Gun.
Yeah.
That had your buddy in it. That's like 200. He was like 80.
Christopher Lee.
Yeah, he was like 80 in 1960 and he's still alive.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
How did he Jedi again?
That guy's got to be pushing 100 now. How old is Christopher Lee?
I want to say he's 92.
Well, he looked ancient in The Hobbit.
Yeah, he's in his low 80s. Low 90s.
He had that long hair.
Yeah, but I mean, he looked decrepit, though. I mean, he just looked like he was in bad shape.
Have you climbed that many steps?
Well, he was supposed to look like he was in bad shape, too. So I don't know how much of that was actually makeup.
True, but I mean, it takes place how long before the events of Lord of the Rings, and he's so young and vibrant looking?
Sorry, I blinked. I thought you were talking about Lord of the Rings.
He's got the liver spot.
I realized
Lord of the Rings, he looks
the
great.
Hobbit.
Yeah, and The Hobbit, he's just sitting there, just looking like he couldn't stand up.
Ooh, I mean, yeah, he's 92 exactly.
And I am not faulting the man, because he is an elderly gentleman. And God bless him for still working, but damn. If I'm still working at that age, damn.
But what about Chris Pine not turning into Captain Kirk? What?
It happens.
I see, this bothers me because, I mean, not that I begrudge Shatner his chance to ham it up as Kirk again, but I feel like I was watching Into Darkness again, and
best movie ever.
It's a fun action movie, but it's not a good Star Trek movie, and it's basically just one giant reference.
And it's the most sexist movie ever.
It's not a very good it's just not a good Star Trek movie.
And they don't really go anywhere.
Yeah, and I guess that's fine, but...
They don't go anywhere, they go to the Klingon homeworld.
Yeah, they go to Cronus.
Yeah, but they're not tootling around in deep space. The great thing about upcoming Star Trek 3 is they're going to be traveling around through deep space. They're not going to be chilling around Earth. They are going to be goddamn exploring space as they were meant to.
Yeah, and I know we've talked about this before, but what was the whole point of rebooting the timeline if they were just going to remake The Wrath of Khan?
Because you can't escape your destiny, Amanda.
That's stupid. That's
well
really
said.
Dumb.
You can't.
Shatner's crazy. He's cray-cray.
Wow. Well, you know who's not crazy?
You?
Well, yes. Truth. Steven Soderbergh. apparently big Indiana Jones fan, and he kind of put a fun video online recently, which is not a recut version of Raiders of the Lost Ark, but it is completely stripped of all color, so it's in black and white, and all the sound is missing from it, and he kind of put his own electronic soundtrack to it, which is really interesting, but the reasoning that he did it is because he was kind of studying the pacing and the staging of the film and how it was set up and how long the scenes and the shots lasted, and just he was really studying the composition of the film itself. And he is so enamored by Spielberg as a filmmaker. He went on to make the quote that this guy knows so much about staging a scene that he had forgotten more about staging a scene before he had made his first feature film than Steven Soderbergh himself knows about staging at all, period. Which is kind of, I don't know if you really understand the gravity of that statement, but it's kind of like a rich guy saying, I wipe my ass with more money taking one shit than you make in an entire year.
Yikes.
Kind of thing. Just saying that's how much talent Spielberg has as a filmmaker and a storyteller.
Read between the lines how much talent he had.
Yeah.
Filmmaker and a storyteller.
Okay.
Doesn't he make more errors on screen than anybody else?
Because he doesn't care. He's like, eh, fuck it.
You mean continuity errors? Or
just whatever, random shit.
Like factual errors.
Or yeah, or like even just like dumb shit where you see like goofs, like a cameraman or a mic or whatever, just random shit that shouldn't be on screen.
Yeah, or dude crawls in a fridge, survives a nuclear explosion.
That wasn't his fault.
That really happened.
I'm pretty sure that's Spielberg's fault, is it? Okay, no, you can't be blaming Lucas.
Yeah, well, he's the easy one to blame. He's washed his hands of the situation.
That poor guy.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, I think we can all agree that Spielberg's heyday was 70s through the 90s, maybe early 2000s. But
I would say Saving Private Ryan is probably
1997. I agree that was amazing. But I mean, he's done some pretty amazing stuff too since then.
That was 98. Look at
Band of Brothers. Granted, it was TV, but and it was kind of same vibe as Saving Private Ryan. But that was amazing too. I think he produced it. I don't think he had directed it, but
he directed the first episode. And he produced the series
right with Tom Hanks.
Mm-hmm. And they're for Civil War this time.
So, I mean, and 8mm, well, he produced, he didn't direct, though, right?
you're talking about Super 8?
Super 8, that's it. Yeah, yeah.
Who directed 8mm?
Not Joel Schumacher.
I was like, holy shit, he made that snuff film?
No.
Joel Schumacher made that snuff film.
Oh, man, I was like, man, that's totally out of his comfort zone.
Yeah, that was a hell of a slip.
Yeah.
But no, Super 8.
Wasn't that an Abrams thing?
Yeah, Abrams directed it.
But it was either produced or executive produced by Spielberg, right?
Because it was executive produced by Steven.
Yeah, Spielberg. It had his stank on it.
Yeah, it was an E.T. 2, you mean?
More or less. Yeah. But anyway. Yeah. So if you guys have the opportunity and 2 hours to kill, it's interesting to watch it in black and white, and it's even more interesting to see it without any sound. But it just goes to show that the story is told so well visually that you don't even need sound design or dialogue to get what's going on. Plus, it helps the fact that I've seen it a million times, so I'll automatically know what's going on, and I hear the score in my head. But doesn't matter. It's really cool looking. So it's just kind of a neat insight into how one filmmaker will study the style of someone else that they idolize. So pretty cool stuff. I don't know. It takes a because when I first heard about this, I heard it was a re-edit, and I watched it, and I didn't really see any of the edits changed at all, which is difficult, and you know, unless you have any kind of additional footage or different takes or something to do a quote-unquote re-edit. But so at first I was thinking, how much time does this guy have that he's sitting there re-editing existing movies? But you know, it doesn't take long just to strip the color and slap down some freaking electronic music to it. But it's still a pretty cool thing, a pretty cool process. So check it out if you like indie. If not, meh, go fuck yourself. It's all right.
He's even more amazing than the time Michael Jackson came over to your house. He's the bathroom.
Yeah.
Soderbergh,
even more amazing than the time I ate my weight in Godfather Pizza.
Soderbergh should be busy on the set of Magic Mike 2. He's got time for this shit.
Yeah.
Magic Mike 2.
Mm-hmm.
They're making a sequel to that movie?
They are.
What else? Amanda, you got like Hulu news, right? We gotta get back on track. Did you want to talk about that at all? Hulu, Stephen King, JFK.
JJ. Time travel. TARDIS.
Damn, done. Moving on.
JJ, you're like that? He's doing that?
Well, I think he's like producing it. Wait a second.
He likes time travel.
It's him and Stephen King.
Yeah.
It's called like 112263 or something like that.
It's based on a Stephen King story, and it's about some guy who goes back, who somehow manages to go back in time and then tries to stop the assassination of JFK.
It's like a Quantum Leap episode.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you can do that. There are rules. It's a significant event in history.
So
Hogwarts, a history.
I don't know. I think it sounds interesting, but at the same time, it's just so affected.
So what happens after the first episode?
It's just gonna, well, it's just gonna be like a 9-hour series.
Oh my god.
That's it.
Boring.
So you could shoot 10 to like 100 times in that amount of time.
Yeah, back and to the left, over and over and over again.
But I mean, there's supposed to be some sort of like romance, like the guy traveling back in time falls in love with somebody in the past, and
Lee Harvey's wife. Oh,
I don't know, maybe. And then
English teacher Jake Epping travels back in time to prevent the assassination of JFK.
And then he ends up having to commit the assassination. Yeah.
His mission is threatened by Lee Harvey Oswald, his failing in love and the past itself, which his doesn't want to be changed. Yeah.
No.
But his falling. Mission is threatened.
Why did you say failing?
Oh, falling. I bet. It's just falling. I can't read.
He fails at falling in love?
Yeah. He like falls up.
So, Amanda, here you might have a Geek of the Week for us.
I do. So, in Wichita County, apparently a home invasion was thwarted by the homeowner, who apparently is really into medieval fighting and had a spear right next to his bed, and he used his fighting techniques to stab the home invader and fend off the guy who broke into his house.
He didn't kill him.
He didn't kill him. The guy's fine. He bled a lot all over.
Is he gonna sue him now?
The person's house. I don't know. I mean, he was arrested. The guy was being chased by the police, and then I guess decided to break into this person's house, Jimmy Morgan Jr.'s house. And
Jimmy Morgan Jr.
Yeah, old Jimmy, he is a member of the SCA, which is the Society for Creative Anachronism. So he is very well versed in defending himself with spears and swords. And he did so.
I like it.
Yeah.
Now, pretend I was stupid and didn't know, because I'm sure there are people who are listening who don't know what anachronism means. I mean, I totally do, but what is anachronism for the lay people?
No, an anachronism is something that is out of its time.
Mm. Like this guy who's like a LARPer of sorts.
Like this guy who's a LARPer and keeps a short spear by his bedside instead of owning a gun.
I'm surprised that he was able to hurt him with a real spear. I mean, it's a real spear. It was a real spear. It wasn't like a foil made one made from foil. Nope.
It wasn't a boffer.
A boffer, that's what they're called?
Yeah, the soft ones.
I want to know, like, what was going through his head. I mean, he kind of, like, talks about he walks the reporter through, you know, what happened step by step. But he doesn't really talk about what he was thinking at the time.
Dude, he saw red. The guy is a fucking psycho. I think
only thing under his head was, "This is my house."
Yeah.
So that's our Geek of the Week.
Yay.
What about a list?
I
could go for a list.
Could you go for a list? I just so happen to have a fun little list for us.
You gonna scratch that itch?
Yeah, since we're talking about Batman and Gotham and all that fun stuff, I found a fun little list. The 10 best bat suits across movies, TV, and comics.
Sounds we're like all... a visual list.
Well, it kind of helps to see it, but I'm going to kind of do my best to visually describe it to you with words.
Paints me a word picture.
No. Okay, so
Azrael Sinclair.
Number 10 on the list is the Golden Age Batman. He's wearing a big cape that flares out. He's got more actual bat-looking wings that kind of stick out to the side and not just up. He's got these really crazy purple gloves that look like the ones that like nurses and doctors wear that aren't the latex, they're the nitrile gloves. And he's wearing predominantly gray and blue.
He's not wearing any gold?
Just his belt is yellow.
Well, I mean,
so that is the golden age. That is the beginning of Batman, right there, in terms of his comic.
Why isn't he wearing gold?
It's not like that. It's not so literal. It's like the heyday, like back when things were amazing.
The golden days.
I don't understand.
Golden age is when the comics started. Then there's like the silver age, and then there's
modern age.
The modern age.
They're not wearing silver and gold in each of the ages.
You're just being a jack.
Leave the puns to Justin.
Yeah. This is back when things were amazing, and that's
I
all.
Used to roll our eyes at him.
Time, you can be a pain in the ass, but I can't.
I am not. I am the voice of reason in this fucking podcast.
Yeah. Number 9 on the list, the Dark Knight trilogy. So
that's...
Yeah, I know. I would have ranked it higher myself because I was a big fan of the tactical look of the bat suit. We all know how that looks, so I don't need to go through a very visual description of that. But
lots of black and rubber.
Well, they're pretty different suits from 1 to 2.
Yeah, 2 is ridiculous. Like Dark Knight is actually he looks like he's got like this whole crazy neck piece.
Yeah.
I mean that was the big uproar. People were upset about the neck piece. Yeah. But it was more functional.
Yeah, it was the first time Batman was able to turn his head.
Yeah, Batman Begins, the cowl is almost exactly like the Burton Batman one. Like the big rubber piece.
Yeah, he had to completely turn his whole body when he wanted to turn his head.
Yeah.
What did you say?
Yeah.
And his ears are already covered with that stuff. I can't hear you. You got to look at me when you talk. And be right in front of me.
But that was a pretty revolutionary costume change.
Turn his head.
That would be funny if his voice kept getting louder and quiet as he talked. Just to give us a better idea.
Due to the unfreezing process, I'm having trouble controlling the volume of my voice.
You should have like a PA, like a cop PA, and like a, what do you call it? One of those, the bullhorn. Yeah. You should have one on top of the Batmobile.
Death bars.
Exactly. Now we're talking. Anyway, continue. I love how we can make stuff better. It's amazing.
We can make everything better. Number 8, the 1989 Tim Burton Batman costume, since we were talking about it.
That's low on the list.
I know that's low. I love that one. I love that one a lot. I did not make this list. Maybe I should make lists.
I bet this was written by an obscure comic guy. I bet they're all like, oh, Batman number 863, the unveiling of the Batsuit.
Well, the number 7 on the list is The Dark Knight Returns. So, Frank Miller's tale of the retired, aging Batman hitting the streets for one last adventure in his black and gray outfit.
Dude, I
hate stubby ears.
I hate the artwork in those comics. I think it looks terrible.
No, wait, there's a naked lady with swastikas covering her nipples.
I think everybody looks just, like, drunk and fat.
Well, yeah, well, that's the thing. They're calling Batman very barrel-chested, the way that he was written, or the way he was drawn, which is kind of a throwback to how he was portrayed in during the Silver Age,
mm-hmm. the 70s silver and on? Such.
Where everything was silver, Amanda.
His belt is white. You can almost say maybe it's silver. Yeah, I don't know.
Dun, dun, dun.
So this one is something that I can immediately call a visual to you. So number 6 is Batman Beyond. It is pretty much the only incarnation of Batman that doesn't have a cape. He's got the big, tall ears, and he's got the spiky thing coming out of his gauntlet that are way more long and curved than the typical ones coming out. And he's got that very slender, sleek look with the bright red bat symbol emblazoned on his chest.
The wicked claws.
He's badass.
Yeah. That's my favorite bat suit.
I dig that one. That one is very, very cool. Number 6 on the list.
They should make that movie.
Terry McGinnis.
Batman Beyond.
So, number 5 on the list, Gotham by Gaslight. So this one is actually a Victorian era Batman, and his costume is kind of steampunky.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Mike Mignola's proto steampunk take on a Victorian era Batman. So
like, love Mike Mignola, hate steampunk. So
yeah,
I'm torn.
I'm having a hard time visualizing this.
Yeah.
Does it look dumb? Randy, you're looking at it.
Stitching.
He's kind of got, like, instead of a cape, it looks more like a trench coat. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were talking barrel-chested before. This one just looks straight up fat. But
does he have goggles?
No, in this particular image, he does not have goggles and a top hat. He's got what looks like a traditional cowl. Just looks like he's wearing jeans and a trench coat. But it's really hard to tell.
Is he a member of the League of Steam?
I don't know. Is he a douche?
Speaking of which, fucking the Seventh Matrix, their newsletter last week featured the League of Steam.
And I
had to delete it. Sorry, Mr. Rod Faulkner, but not interested in the League of Steam one bit.
I'm sure all the actors that take part in the series are fine, beautiful, wonderful people.
Uptown all the way.
Yeah. It's just that other guy.
Where do we run it? We'll save it. No, we ran him. Randy ran him somewhere in LA. I don't remember where it was, but it's okay.
Yeah, doesn't matter.
The douche store.
So number four on the list is
the douche store.
Number four on the list is the Silver Age Batman, and this actually looks a lot like the Adam West Batman that we're familiar with from TV fame. So he's wearing the blue cowl with the black kind of face portion of it, the front part, which flows into the big blue cape, the gray suit with the black bat symbol, and the blue underwear and the yellow. utility belt.
Look.
It's very, very classic, very distinctly like 60s, 70s.
Yeah,
so that is the silver.
I fucking love it, dude.
No, I don't like it.
Oh, it's so hot.
I don't really care for campy Batman. I'm more I like my serious Batman.
So this is like the Batman that always had Robin at his hip, pretty much, because it's that campy.
Yeah, but I mean, I get that from the show, Dave, but the comic book, he always had a serious look on his face. Unless he was laughing. But, I mean, for the most part, he laughed with
a stern expression.
Yeah, he would be sad or, I don't know, he had a lot of emotion on his face, I think, and I dug it.
So number three on the list is Batman the Animated Series.
Mm-hmm. Big ears.
Celebrating Bruce Timm's striking art style.
It's the same thing, but it's black and gray instead of blue.
Pretty much, yeah. But it's black and gray, but the highlights on the black make it look blue. So it looks very similar, but this time it has the yellow oval with the bat symbol inside of it.
Yeah.
Which the first time I noticed that. Yeah, the first time I noticed that was in the Tim Burton movie. I don't know. I know that in comics it made an appearance earlier, but I didn't see it for the first time until the movie.
Well, the inside of his cape was blue, too, which made it look cool.
Yeah. It is cool looking, but I don't see how that's cooler than the movie versions of the costumes. So number two on the list is the Neil Adams version of Batman. And what happens with him is that it kind of took over in the 70s, and they wanted to go a little bit darker and grittier. They wanted to kind of take away that clean, wholesome image that we saw of Batman in the Adam West TV series, and they made him a lot grittier looking. Now, he's still the same color scheme with the black and the gray, but he's got the big tall ears. It's very shadowy, very contrasty, and he's got the spikes coming off of his gauntlets. So he's really cool looking, and he's starting to look more like the present day Batman that we would expect.
Okay, so that's what I was actually thinking of, Dave. I was thinking of this Neil Adams Batman.
Oh, okay.
Because that's when I started reading comics in the 80s, and that's the Batman that I saw.
Yeah, that would be the Batman that you did see then.
Yeah, but it was the blue and gray and gold.
Yeah, yep, totally.
Long ears. Yeah, that was hot.
Yep. Yeah, that is pretty badass. Now, number one on the list is coming up, Batman Year One. And this is actually incredibly similar to the Ben Affleck Bat costume that we have seen recently. In terms of the black and gray color scheme, the big black bat symbol stretching all the way from shoulder to shoulder across his chest. Mm-hmm. Really, the only bit of color on this particular costume is the off yellow. Barely even any kind of color in it whatsoever, kind of yellow that his belt is. Looks like the movie version, of course, is going to be black. But Batman Year One rated number one on Newsarama.com.
That's interesting.
So that's where we procured this list. Fun little Batman bat suits.
And where is the Batman?
He's at home washing his tights.
Hubba, hubba, hubba. Money, money, money.
Who do you trust? Me? I'm giving away free money.
Gun.
Oh, shit. Okay. How fun. Great list, Randy. Top notch. Stuff.
Yeah. So, Mr. Justin Cavender, I have heard tale that you have a special game in store for us tonight. Now, let me tell you, it's been so long since we played a game that I feel a little bit rusty, and I'm going to need your help working these kinks out. What can you do for me?
Not a problem. I have my trusty oil can right here. Mr.
Music. I think you do one of those stretches to where, like, you go in between Randy's legs, and, like, he puts his hamstring on your shoulder, and, like, you work it out like that.
Right. Like a scissor move, kind of?
Yeah, it's hot.
Yeah.
Do it slow like.
Do it. Do some more. I can do that too. I have a lot of techniques. Jack of all trades. Oh. I'll tell you what. Yes, so I do in fact have a game. In fact, this one is kind of themed around the fall TV lineup.
Ooh, fun.
I'm basically going to give you an idea of the synopsis, and you will just have to name that show. Sounds easy, right?
Sounds fun.
Love it.
All right. Keep in mind, these are new and returning shows. Right. Most of them are all genre programming, so there's nothing too crazy in there. I believe most of us watch all of these, so it should be relatively easy. All right, shout it out when you know it. Of course, if you guess wrong, you will be out for that turn. Person with the highest score will obviously win and be our own Geek of the Week. How about that?
I like it. We don't even have to stab anybody.
Nope.
Well, if you want to, you can.
Yes.
It's an optional extra.
Spears at the ready. Are we all good?
Yeah.
All right. So number one. This poor guy somehow got roped into defending the balance between heaven and hell.
Not Constantine.
Sure. Very good, David. Constantine. Not sure how well Matt Ryan will fare against the forces of evil, but Keanu sure killed it. And that, of course, is Constantine. David was correct. Number two. This black coat, white shoes, black hat, Cadillac kind of guy is on the country's most wanted list. Interestingly Blacklist. Enough, James Spader has his own list. David is correct with Blacklist. That Damn. Is two. Number three. An origin story blasting us in the face with countless villains and Blast. Two cops.
Gotham.
Dave, Randy is correct with Gotham. Oh. Randy is on.
You will one way, I will another way.
Yes. All right, number four. This new series features a superhero that's a quick little fucker. I heard Randy first. Although, despite his incredible speed, he's late for everything. Number five. This ragtag group of detectives are New York's finest. At least, they're the best in one of five Brooklyn boroughs. Nine-Nine. David, repeat that, please.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Correct. Brooklyn Nine-Nine. That's a good show.
Very good show.
All right, number six. If this guy shows up at your door, chances are you failed Starling City.
Arrow.
David. Killing it. Four. Arrow is correct. All right. The seventh and final season is underway. Hopefully by now you know there is no character named Sam Crow.
Huh.
Time's up. Sons of Anarchy.
Oh. Yeah,
never watched it.
They always refer to Sam Crow. But that is not a real character. That's actually referencing the club. So, David's got four, Randy's got two, Amanda is yet to get on the board, but that could change at any moment. Number eight. Andrea dies in season three. Spoiler alert.
Oh, Walking Dead.
Very good. Amanda's on the board.
Let me know when we get to the golden snitch question.
All right. I thought that was funny. Number nine. This show mixes in some German words to make monsters sound more terrifying.
Grimm.
Ooh, very good, Amanda Grimm. That's two. No, that's strike two. All right. Number 10. Maybe in season two, this guy will get some new clothes. He's been wearing the same shit for nearly 40 years. David. Rushed it.
I still don't understand why I would have,
if you hadn't said clothes, I wouldn't have got it.
Uh-oh. It's terrible. All right. Bonus question, number 11. It's hard to believe this series has so many fans, but it's bigger on the inside. In fact,
Doctor Who, the TARDIS.
In fact, four different actors have taken on the role of its leading man in just 8 seasons. I don't really know who I heard first. It was either Dave or Randy.
David's going to win regardless, so let's just
give it to Randy so it's closer.
That was the golden snitch. He just got 150 points.
Oh, dang. I lost. In that case, I was first. I know I said the whole name before anybody else, but I don't know about if Randy or I said doctor first.
Oh. Well, he got the golden snitch.
I can't believe you didn't have Supernatural on there. I was waiting for Supernatural.
I forgot to watch that now. Yeah, it's starting its 10th season.
Oh, my God.
I thought for sure we were going to get a Grey's Anatomy because you're from Washington. You love that show.
These are all genre shows.
Or Black.
From Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Thought we get a Blackish there.
Yeah, so that's our game. Randy wins, catching the golden snitch. Champion Hanky.
It's not. Incorrect.
It's my rules. My game.
Well, you said you didn't know who got it first, so
I listened to the tape.
And we tied on that one, and so we split the golden snitch.
I listened to the tape, and Randy won.
Randy put the golden snitch in his mouth, and out popped a clue for me.
Yeah. All games need a golden snitch. We all need Quidditch rules in daily life.
Oh, you like it now?
I got the resurrection ring.
Yeah.
I finally caught up with the end of Supernatural the last season.
Oh. How'd you like that? With Dean being a demon and all.
You know,
spoiler alert, I'm not that far yet.
So David, watch it, folks.
My brother David has been watching it too, and so he was like flipping his shit when that happened. But I think because he like hyped it for me, I was waiting for what was gonna happen. And then when he turned out to be a demon, I wasn't that surprised. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that.
Well, they've died 10,000 times.
I know. So. Yeah. They gotta throw something new in there.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's pretty cool how Crowley's like a regular now.
Mm-hmm. I love Mark Shepard. Yeah. He's great.
He is great. Randy's great, too, so he can take us out.
All right, so looks like just about time to wrap things up. Does anybody have any shout-outs they'd like to do?
Yes, don't forget to visit scifitalk.com to check out Tony Tolato and his wonderful podcast, The Time Capsule. It's a blast, a lot of fun interviews, as well as Tim Byers over at thefullbleed.net, two of our wonderful colleagues, and they write some really good stuff, so check them out immediately. Also, don't forget the Flash podcast with Andy B, where he gives you all the highlights coming out from the Flash show that's airing on the CW.
Cool. And definitely don't forget to check out the other podcasts in our regular network. We've got the Pixelated podcast with Stephen Janes and our very own Justin Cavender, as well as the Comic Corner podcast with Tyler and the Jerd. And like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and just be loyal fans, sending us your emails, telling us how much you love us, because we all need that little bit of an ego boost every so often, just so that we can get out of bed in the morning and continue to produce this awesome podcast and bring you all this great content on the website. We just need a little stroking. Just a little. That's all we're asking. Just a little.
Okay. You could be our tauntauns. We can go inside you.
You can be your tauntaun, and I will be your long lost friend.
Dun, 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 dun.
You can call me Betty.
Which is kind of weird.
That took an interesting turn. I wasn't expecting that.